This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Major League Baseball rankings done by ESPN, they are out. And it's going to cause a little bit of an argument amongst New York baseball fans. Number five is Gerrit Cole. And number six is Jacob deGrom. From birth, I'm a Yankee boy. And I think that Gerrit Cole is one of the best free agent signings that they're going to make. He is not disappointed at all so far in every aspect. But Jacob deGrom has won two Cy Young Awards. His velocity has increased each of the last 5 years. How do you, with good conscience, rate Cole ahead of Jacob deGrom?
You've done it two straight years. So clearly whoever's making this list believes that Cole's a better pitcher than deGrom. I'd like to know what stat they're looking at when the war is way in favor.
Well, Jeff Passan will tell us, hopefully.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
You know, some might think that Jeff Passan knows everything about baseball, but if I have any life problems, I check in with Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan knows everything about everything, but we are going to ask him about baseball, and the ESPN insider joins us now on the show. Jeffrey, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
Gentlemen, I'm great. I'm glad that I get to come on and talk about this controversy, apparently, that I didn't know about until I heard from my friend Brian Franey that you guys were giving me grief over this ranking.
No, not grief. We said that if ESPN is ranking baseball players 1 to 100, Jeff must be involved in some way voting. So my question to you, being the savant that you are, should Jacob deGrom be rated behind Gerrit Cole? And if he's not, why?
Michael, let me answer your question with a question. If I were to say to you, do you think Jeff ranked Jacob deGrom or Gerrit Cole higher, what do you think the answer to that would be?
I would probably think, because I have such respect for you, that it would be deGrom ahead of Cole.
Unequivocally, deGrom is ahead of Cole.
Okay.
Like, there's no doubt. And by the way, this is not just me selling out my teammates, which I'm clearly doing. But I have receipts here. In my fantasy draft, an auction draft, this past weekend, I got both Jacob deGrom and Gerrit Cole. And for Jacob deGrom, I paid $39, and for Gerrit Cole, I paid $37. I would have gone probably $3 to $4 higher on deGrom over Cole if I had the choice between the two. I have an immense amount of respect for Gerrit Cole, who he is, what he does, how he competes, his stuff, his intellect. Jacob deGrom's a better pitcher, period.
Right.
And we screwed that one up. But that's okay. We're allowed, right?
But that's 2 years in a row they made the same mistake.
I can't account for what my teammates do. There are days, Michael, where I imagine you look at Don and Peter and say, what are you doing? And there are days, Don and Peter, perhaps every day, that you look at Michael and say, Michael K., what are you doing? This is one of those where each of our votes was weighted equally. And it was kind of interesting, actually. I don't know what app it is, but we were told to log into a website and two names would come up. And sometimes it was a hitter and a pitcher. Most of the times it was hitter and hitter or pitcher and pitcher. And all you had to do was click who you thought was better. And there were tens of thousands of these that everyone on the ESPN baseball staff did. And that's how the rankings were determined, based on those individual matchups. And I'm sorry, but there had to have been Jacob deGrom versus Gerrit Cole. And clearly to me, the answer there is Jacob deGrom.
Now, I'm going to tell you what happened. Because I think this is the same way that they do it for everything at ESPN. Because of my hockey, Jeff, every week I get an email to rank the 31 teams of the NHL. And it's the same thing.
Of course.
It pops up. Blue Jackets, Rangers, you hit one. Then it's Islanders, Golden Knights, hit one. And it never ends. There's no end to it. You just keep hitting.
Right.
I literally could do like 1,000 of them. And there are some times that I'm like blind and I end up hitting the wrong one, and it's not like you can go back. I think it's probably close to where it might have just been that. Because if that's the way it is, if you hung in, there is no end. It's like a video game. Is that the same one?
I think I assume so. I think you're saying that we were just tired, and that may actually be the case, Don. Maybe we just got tired of clicking, and maybe it was an accidental click too. Could have been that.
Because it is close, right, Jeff? These are the two best pitchers in baseball.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about Cole and DeGrom, and this person said they're two of the three best pitchers in baseball. I was like, who's the other? And his answer was Shane Bieber. And Shane Bieber was great last year. Shane Bieber is great. Shane Bieber ain't Garrett Cole or Jacob DeGrom.
He didn't pitch that well in the playoff game, but you can't just hold one game against
him.
Yeah, he was not that good. All right, so... yesterday, Major League Baseball is going to try to crack down on illegal substances, and they're going to grab baseballs from out of the game. And I thought that your colleague and our friend Buster Olney made a really good point on Twitter today, said, can you imagine if somebody gets zapped because of this with the chain of command? The ball went to this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and then it got to us. How do you know that's the ball that I used? How are they going to enact this?
I'm pulling this up right now, a text that I got from a player. He said,
and you quote,
I guess I'll just throw the ball to my third baseman and tell him to put stuff on the ball for me since that's legal. that's the thing though. All right, what happens if a ball gets scuffed by a catcher, by a shortstop, on a belt buckle, wherever it may be? What happens if a player has extremely heavy pine tar on his bat and some of it goes on to his hand and he touches the ball? Like, there are a million different things. I think the idea of yesterday, it's twofold, guys. Number one, it's to scare the pitchers, right? To make them say to themselves, well, if Major League Baseball is watching me now, maybe I shouldn't be doing something. And that's going to have an effect on some guys. You know, there are some guys who have been using stuff actually for the right reasons, because they want a little bit of extra grip, because they don't want to, lose a ball and hit someone in the head, as opposed to the guys who are going and using it to really ramp up their spin rate. But more than anything, guys, what this reminds me of is the MLB survey steroid testing. You remember back when early on late PED era, but early on when they were talking about testing, how they did anonymous testing just to get a sense of what the reality is and how prevalent this stuff is. Mm-hmm. I think rather than being cracking down this year in going and hunting after guys who are using, Major League Baseball is going to approach this like an information gathering situation, where they get a better sense of what substances are being used on balls. They get a better sense of just how prevalent it actually is. And when they get that information and have that data, they can have a much better and more targeted approach to getting guys in the future. If you're egregious like Michael Pineda was, when he was with the Yankees and he got caught, of course they're going to do something. But because of those chain of custody issues that Buster brought up, I really do think it's going to be problematic to go after guys based on that or on spin rate alone and a jump in spin rate and go and punish people. And further, imagine arguing that case in front of an arbitrator when the MLBPA clearly and obviously tries to overturn any suspension.
Right.
It's a hard argument for MLB to make without more clear evidence there.
How much of a problem do you think it is? The pitchers are cheating.
I think that's there are two ways to phrase this question. And I'm gonna come with one that I think you might have been getting at. Rather than saying how big of a problem is it, or do you mean how prevalent is it? Because
yes.
in terms of prevalence, I would say 80% of pitchers use something. Now, could they use some pine tar and some rosin? Could they use a little sunscreen, stuff like that? I mean, there are absolutely pitchers who are like chemists who go in back and cook up this funky stuff and put it in a place, whether it's inside their pants, whether it's, you know, underneath their jersey, they hide it, they're shady about it, who are going out there with the express intent of using this to manipulate the baseball and make themselves better. That's not 80%. And yet I have such cognitive dissonance over this, because on one hand, this is this, you know, I'm the same guy who looks at performance enhancing drugs, for example, and says, if they can get the best players out there, if they can keep them healthy, that's what I want. I want the best players being able to perform at their apex. And yet another part of me looks at the spin rate on fastballs and on breaking balls these days and really can attribute a lot of baseball's problems right now to that. I think baseball's biggest problem right now is not even pace of play, which is slowed down, but amount of action. And I think the lack of action in baseball is not just directly correlated with, but causative to the ability for pitchers to generate swings and misses now. And pitchers generate swings and misses more than ever because of that spin rate. When you have so guys, you know the whole idea of a rising fastball, it doesn't actually rise. What it does is fall less. And the fastballs that fall less are the ones with the highest RPMs on them. And the more RPMs you can get, the harder a fastball will be to hit. And guys are throwing with more spin than they ever have before. And I think the reason that there are not more balls in play, the reason that there's not more action, is because pitchers have gotten too damn good. So if this is the kind of thing that's going to rein them in, that's going to cause more action on the field, I am all for it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You think the Mets get Lindor done before the end of spring training, which is the deadline that he and his agents have set?
I would say right now, no, but I'm not confident in that answer. You know the way that it works. I mean, the Mets can say, you know, we're not going to go a penny over 300. And then at the last minute, if Lindor is willing to settle at 310, a deal's going to get done. I think Francisco Lindor is playing a very dangerous game, though. And I think he's playing a dangerous game because he's going into a division that's really freaking good. And this is not to take anything away from Francisco Lindor, who I think is an absolute star. But when you couple the fact that he's going into a division that has really good pitching in Philadelphia, really good pitching in Miami, really good pitching in Washington, and really good pitching in Atlanta, and he's going to be playing 76 games a year against these top-to-bottom excellent staffs. And I don't think I'm exaggerating. You know, aside from the Phillies and the Marlins bullpen, I suppose maybe the Nats, like, every piece of that division is strong power pitching. It's different than what he's been facing predominantly in the American League Central. So the idea that Francisco Lindor offensively may not have a show-out year this year is realistic. And when you compound that with the fact that he's going to be going into a free agent class that has Carlos Correa, who's not signing an extension, that has Corey Seager, who's not signing an extension, Trevor Story not signing an extension, and potentially Javier Baez, not to mention Marcus Semien as well, all of a sudden you have a glut of shortstops there. And I really, really will be curious to see if any of the free agents this offseason, if Lindor is one of them, gets to that $300 million mark, because that is a difficult threshold to reach.
Now, I don't know where you had the White Sox, but does anything change now with this Jimenez news?
I mean, it hurts. You know, it's a guy who they thought could hit 40 home runs this year in the middle of their lineup, and he's going to be out for the majority, if not entirety, of the season. That said, Adam Engel isn't exactly chopped liver. And they went with him last year for a majority of the time in right field when they had their run to the postseason and were among the best teams in baseball. And I do not think that that has changed. Even though they lose Jimenez, they still have Tim Anderson. They still have Yoan Moncada. They still have Luis Robert. They still have Jose Abreu. They still have Yasmani Grandal, Nick Madrigal, Adam Eaton, Engel. Andrew Vaughn, the rookie, is going to be really good. Like, I just ran through that whole lineup right there. There's not a weak spot in that lineup. They are a very, very good offensive team. And if Lance Lynn comes in and pitches the way he did last year and Giolito's the guy he was, and you have a bullpen, they may have the best bullpen in the American League, if not all of baseball, with Liam Hendricks and Cody Hoyer and Aaron Bummer and Michael Kopech and Garrett Crochet. I mean, the arms that they can turn to are staggering.
All right, so you've been following everything. What's jumped out at you in spring training? What has surprised you pleasantly?
Pleasantly surprised me. You know what pleasantly surprised me? I have a story coming out on ESPN.com tomorrow, and we have a cover story running on SportsCenter on Sunday. Juan Soto is like the nicest human being that you will ever meet. And I think I probably knew that already, but it's nice when you get to spend some time with someone and you see that, like, they treat people well. You know, Juan Soto is 22 years old, guys. He is doing things that we have not seen before for someone his age. Up at 19 years old, had the highest OPS in history for a 19-year-old. Last year, hit 350, and if not for what he believes is a false COVID positive at the beginning of the season, would have been the National League MVP. And seeing how Juan Soto treats, like, we were doing a photo shoot, and the way that he treated the crew and was helpful and thoughtful and kind to them, I just know that this is the kind of guy who has the world on a string, and seeing him treat everybody like their family, it was an edifying moment for me to know that as great as he is, that greatness is not changing who he is as a person.
Will the Nationals be able to lock him up long term? Are they trying to do that?
I mean, I'm sure they'd like to, but no, I don't foresee that happening this year.
He's
and
a Boris
I'm not
guy,
sure that's
right?
Going to happen at all?
He's a Boris guy. Yeah.
Yep, and look, Scott Boras is not against doing pre-free agency deals. We saw him do one yesterday with Lance McCullers at $85 million over 5 years with the Astros. Juan Soto is going to get five times that, at least. I mean, this is – it's not an exaggeration. I talk about this in the story. Juan Soto could be the first North American athlete to make $500 million. Leo Messi got that in his contract with, I believe, Barcelona. But – Let's consider this. Let's look at all the different possibilities here. Fernando Tatis got 340 at 22 years old. Mike Trout got 430 before hitting free agency. Soto wouldn't sign this for another 4 years. He's going to be 26 at the time. The Yankees will be in. The Mets will be in. The Dodgers will be in. The Cubs will be in. The Red Sox will be in. Everyone will be in. Because, guys, this is potentially one of the greatest hitters of all time. And it's weird for me to say that as a 22, you know, with him being only 22 years old. But everything about him is great. His swing is great. His eye is great. I'm fascinated by the psychological games that he plays in the box. If you watch a Juan Soto at bat, it's the best. It's the absolute best because he will stare at a pitcher, lick his lips, shake his hips, do the shuffle when he takes a ball. It's just a complete mind trip. And all he's trying to do is get into the head of the pitcher and make that pitcher think for 1 second, oh no, I'm facing Juan Soto. And when he does that, he's got him.
I have an important question, Jeff. Did you
please
watch the Raekwon Ghostface versus?
I did not watch it. I was a little busy that night, actually.
Ghostface killed it.
All right, Michael, was that a pun or did he actually kill it?
Oh, he killed it. I was locked in.
Yeah, what? I was going to say, what bars did he spit, Michael?
You know what? I'd rather you enjoy it on your own rather than me ruin it for you.
Hey, guys, speaking of things I missed, how'd it go in the booth? How do you feel about your performances?
I think there should be a lot of baseball teams reaching out to Don to do play-by-play.
He was tremendous, Jeff.
I Andrew needs to send me a clip about that. Like, I need to see unless, Don, you have one on your phone. Have you been watching and critiquing your own performance?
Great question, Jeff.
I haven't had a chance, but I did listen a little bit, but I haven't listened to the entire innings. It wasn't an exciting little bit. I mean, do we have the Sanchez at bat?
Yeah, we could pull that up
play
for Jeff.
Jeff.
Let's give Jeff a taste here.
I'd love to hear this.
Gary Sanchez, the big topic of conversation almost every day on the Michael Kay Show, swings and fires it to right field for a base hit. So first pitch Gary Sanchez came in with 176 as a batting average, but three home runs and four RBIs and a two-out hit for Sanchez.
Jeff, you just want to curl up with that voice.
Can I say something?
Please.
If I didn't know any better, I would have thought that was a professional play-by-play man right there.
Right?
Well, he does the Rangers.
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not trolling you. It was mellifluous. It was absolutely fantastic.
Right? You hear it in a second.
That's all I ever ask is, does it sound normal? Because you don't want to sound like, oh my God,
it didn't sound normal. It sounded better than normal.
Well,
it
see.
Sounded like someone who I would want to listen to for 162 games a year. And that's what Michael does. That's why Michael's so great at his job, because it's familiar. It's comfortable. Michael wraps you up in a blanket of Yankees baseball and keeps
wow.
you warm throughout the wow. spring, summer, and fall. And Don, let me tell you something. I feel like if ever you wanted to do that, whether it's with baseball, with hockey, I think
he is a hockey play-by-play guy. He does the Rangers 40 games a year.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
you mean full time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Wow, that's quite
a no.
Jeff's
that
gonna,
means a lot.
Jeff's
going
to run a team one day too, so you got a chance.
I was going to say I'm going to run the 13U team here in Kansas City. That's about as high as I'm going to be going at any point. There will be no team running in my future, Michael K.
Before we get it,
appreciate the sentiment.
Before we go, we got about 30 seconds. Give me your World Series participants.
I probably say this every year because it's what I want versus what I necessarily believe. But Yankees, Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm feeling that too. I've made my picks, but I'm feeling it.
I want a Yankees Dodgers World Series. I'll be honest. I think that the American League is much weaker than the National League. I think that the Padres are better than any AL team. I think the Braves are better than any AL team. But I think the Yankees have the horses and they have the desire to go out and get what they need this year.
And how ironic would that be on the 40th anniversary of their last meeting?
It would be a beautiful thing. That is a cross-country flight. When vaccinated, I would love to take.
Beautiful. Will I see the stadium anytime soon?
I believe I'm getting my first shot on Sunday, so it has not precluded me from traveling to this point, but I will travel with much more confidence, and I hope, if Marley Rivera allows me, that I will be at Yankee Stadium at some point this season.
Beautiful. Jeff, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, as always.
Pleasure is always mine, boys. Thanks for having
Jeff.
Me.
That's Jeff Passan. I mean, you don't get bigger compliments than that, Peter.
Don, you know, I feel like he's not processing what everyone's saying.
No, he's not. Because he's either humble or dumb. So let's say he's dumble.
You think so dumb's on the table.
It's on the table.
You've always told us it is.
No, but I don't think I'm completely ignorant to a compliment. I mean, Jeff Passan, I'm sure, is one of those guys that's got satellite radio, and when he's in his car during the summer, is listening to every game humanly possible. I get a sense he treats baseball the way I treat hockey, right? So that's a major compliment that I got, you know, that CeCe liked what he heard. I mean, I love it. I don't know what to do with it, because it's not like I can just all of a sudden start sending tapes out and get a gig.
I mean,
it's a major compliment. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to getting a chance to do it next spring training.
Yeah, don't bank on that. Anyway, 1-800-919-377. I also heard, I mean, so CeCe, if you hadn't listened to earlier people, CeCe through Ryan Rucco told Ryan that Don did a great job. I just found out that Marshan's going on vacation for 2 weeks. CeCe's going to be writing that column, so you might have a really positive column coming your way, too.
Yeah, I mean, Don, listen, as long as there's no, like, explosive flatulence at FAN, you should get a good write-up.
Right.
And I read a column last week in the New York Post. There was a light fixture out in the hallway.
Right.
It was so
You mean
good.
At FAN?
Yeah, they said not only light fixture out, but some problems with the water cooler.
Oh, are you being kidding on the square, or you're saying that
And then
you know,
the last
somebody
sentence,
drops a nail at FAN, it's a major story?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Whereas if I hosted the Biden press conference today, it would get the last sentence would be like, and bloviating a training wheel, Peter Rosenberg stood next to Biden. Next.
And I think Neil Best is going to have a column in Newsday. He's going to interview Steve Scazzeri on my performance. Or Eddie Scazzeri, excuse me, on my performance yesterday.
That's funny you mentioned that, because I heard Steve Sommers having a cell phone problem. That got a front
Do you know,
well,
very quick, well. I know we're up against the clock. So Newsday was doing a story on the Sterling-K pairing, right? So I get a call from our PR guy who's great and said, Neil Best would like to talk to you for the story. And I said, tell Neil Best to go and, you know, whatever. I don't know if he told him that. Hopefully he's hearing it now. And so Neil interviewed John, and in the story, he writes, Michael K. declined to comment for the story, which made it seem like I didn't want to even do the games with John. I had nothing to say. Rather than say, Michael K. declined to comment because he knows I'm a hack and will not talk with me.
That
would be the thing that you write to be really truthful. He knows that I'm a hack that slants toward one station no matter what you guys do. So that's what he should have written instead. Michael K. declined to comment. Michael K. wouldn't talk to you on a bet. Hey. If I was paid money, I wouldn't talk to you.
Well, tweet that! Print that!
I don't think he's going to write that. That might explain the lack of coverage, Peter, that we get from Newsday.
Yeah,
Peter
did a whole story with
kidding
Neil.
Aside, all kidding
I'm
aside.
Not kidding. I'm serious.
Me, I know you're not kidding. All right? I don't even write about the job. Kill us. I don't care. Write how awful we were. But how everyone does not write a story on our fans stepping up and getting $33,000 for Make-A-Wish. I mean, that's the story. That's the angle.
Well,
it's not that we got an opportunity of a lifetime to call a Yankee game. It's what positive came out from that. So, you know, tweet that. Write that. That's the story to me.
That's the part that bugs me. It's not that honestly, I do get peeved sometimes when nasty things are said, obviously. But it's more so just the disparity in writing anything. That's crazy to me. And so, like, I just was thinking about that today. I'm like, if anyone else did what we did, just surely doing it, calling a Yankees game, raising the money for it, there would have been a lot going on. But
how about this? Michael K. declined to comment because he sees through my unethical ways.
My only issue with Michael when he goes down this path, Don, is
right.
Like, while yes, maybe Neil deserves it more, and everyone deserves it. And you really let it all out on Neil.
No, because he doesn't even try to be fair.
How many chances
I mean,
you get?
He was on the fair. Francesa bandwagon for 3 years when Francesa was losing. I mean, he would just spin it that he won. didn't even try to be fair. I don't care, though. We're very happy. Our lives are good. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Or you can say, Michael K. refused to comment for this story because he knows that they'll be teaching classes about how unfair my columns are in future years at Columbia Journalism School. Something
you
like that.
You think
that
will make a whole course?
Yeah, a whole course on this is not ethical. This is not journalism. This is hackism.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.